We've been discussing about God's promise and really wanting each of us this year as we embark this journey of 2022, that we go through this together. We have booklets on God's promises. We encourage you. Tomorrow will be the last day of January. You flip the page. Oh, there's February. And so I want to encourage you to just join with us as we look to God's word for his promise. I'm going to read today's promise, and it's, you can stand if you want to, Isaiah chapter 43. It's just one verse, but Isaiah 43 verse 1. But now thus says the Lord that created you. But now says the Lord that created you. You're not by mistake. Regardless of whoever says it wasn't, oops, God knew. But now thus says the Lord that created you, O Jacob, and he that formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I belong to you. I belong to you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that we can stand on your word, your promises. Regardless of how we feel this morning, Lord, I pray that there's anyone here today, anyone that's watching online, they feel like trash. They feel like thrown away. They feel useless. They feel, Lord, like that nobody's, that as they are unwanted. God, speak to them today that you want them. Speak to them today, God, that you created them with a plan and a purpose. Speak to them and reveal to them, God, that you have a future and expected end for them because you want them to know your great love for them and how you and what you've done to redeem them if they would surrender and receive the gift of eternal life. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So secure in his promise, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 21. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and it's kind of like we're going to go over this verses 1 and 2 in a little bit later. But Genesis 21, it says, and the Lord visited Sarah, and the Lord had said, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. Verse 2, for Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. And this is where the Lord just began to just speak to me about this message at the set time of which God had spoken to him. First slide, please. I'm so thankful. But, you know, God always keeps his word. My first point is be secure in what God has said. There are a lot of people that they are secure because they have that... but where all of their life lock. Thank you, Adam. It was right there and it left me. Lord, help me. Life lock. They are so secure with all of their personal information that life lock will be secured. They even insure it for them as well. I wonder how many people still have their personal information stolen or taken because, well, LifeLock's not 100% secure. They might say it. I don't know. I don't have it. But I know that God always keeps his word. He never breaks it. He's not a liar. But when we look to God, we ought to be secure in what he has said. There will come a time when the Lord will cause all of us to visit him, to stand before him, just as he has said, and he will do all that he has spoken. Why? Because of what he says will come to pass. The question is that why do we have such a hard time and difficulty and trouble believing and trusting in him? Why? If we know that God always keeps his word, why do we have difficulty and trouble believing and trusting in him? You want to know why? These right here, our eyes, our senses. We feel things. Oh, God, he forgot about me. We see things. Oh, where's God in this now? I don't see God. He's there. We have to learn to be secure in his promise. This doesn't come naturally, does it? Does it? No, it doesn't. You and I, we have to train ourselves that we look to God's word and we have a choice. There is a fork in the road where we have to choose what we see or we have to choose what God said. And we need to train ourselves to look at what he says, regardless of the circumstances around you, regardless of that. No one can do this for you. You must choose to believe God's word. There might be parents that try to force you to believe or try to encourage you and try to give you advice on how to live your life and surrender it to God, but nobody can choose that fork in the road for you. You must choose to believe and trust in what God has said or not. We have scriptures. I mean, this is a possible endeavor to believe that God always keeps his word and to be secure in his word. There are so many biblical characters that give us examples of this. And today we're going to look at Abram and Sarai. But something that Abram does, and it's just, I mean, it's faith, because for the flesh, it's mind-boggling. Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? Well, we find out that because of Abraham's faith, it was accounted to him for something. Now, the word promise is defined as a declaration or assurance that one will do a particular thing or that a particular thing will happen. October 14th, 1994, I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, and I didn't have to wait for something in the mail to tell me that I was born again. Why? Because the word of God told me that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall, not might, not maybe, not if you pay $2 first, no, that I shall be saved. And it's not because I became a member of a church. I'm going to say that again. It's not because I became a member of a church. Because you become a member of a church does not qualify you to get into heaven. There are so many people that are members of a church, but the hearts are far from God. And they have yet to confess with their mouth and live by it that Jesus is number one in supreme authority, their Lord of their life. But promise, a declaration or assurance, God has declared his word, and his word will not fail. His word will not expire. We can look to his word as his promise to us because it will never fail. Therefore, we must learn and grow to be secure in him. Learn to be secure in his word. It used to be that people would shake hands, and that was their word, that was their bond. It's kind of funny when you read the story of Ruth, but back in the day, they swapped shoes. I didn't want somebody's stank shoes, but that was their form of saying, hey, this is a pact. Think about that now. Give me your shoe. No, I don't want your shoe, Jacob. I mean, as parents, we learn to when it comes to promises. Of course, Shannon and I, we've learned these few words that keep us from our kids saying, you promised. We use these few little words, we'll see. We'll see. Now, we would love to take them to certain places, you know, and when we tell them, hey, we plan on taking you such and such, before we would wait, or we learn to wait till when it's closer for us to leave, because if you tell them a month or 2 weeks, all right, when are we going? Are we going yet? Are we going? No. You just wait a couple days, and, you know, and so we tell them, we'll see. The Lord wills, we'll see. And so that's really saved us from a lot of times of them saying, you promised. But we do that because we don't want our kids to grow up learning that we're liars. I don't want them to consider their dad, Poppy, as a liar. I don't want them to look at me and say, dad breaks his promises. So I use a safety net and say, we'll see. But just take a few seconds to think, what if God said, we'll see? What if God said that if you confess the Lord Jesus and believe your heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll see if you get to heaven. Wow. How much of that word, that promise, changes. The foundation of what he is saying is no longer on a solid rock that we now stand on as believers, but it's faulty. It's like that guy who builds his house on the sand. The rains came down, the floods came up, and it just kept coming, and whoosh, there went the house. That's what God's word would be like. But to know that God, what he speaks and what he says, will come to pass because his word will never fail. I want us to go, because God gives a promise to Abram, and Brother John touched on this morning. God's promise came to Abram, and Abram's response is an example for all of us to follow. Genesis chapter 15, verses 1. It says, after these things, now I'm going to stop at a couple of places, but just, I want you to really pay attention to what God is saying to Abram, okay? Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. I looked in scripture and I don't see anywhere where Abram turned in a request to God, be my shield, be my exceeding great reward. God looked at Abram and said, these are going to be my people, and it's going to come out of them. It's going to come from him. And so he begins to give Abram this vision. I am your shield. God is telling Abram. God is telling you today, I am your shield. If you'll trust me, I will be your shield. Then he says, I will be your exceeding great reward. You can't hold on to the world and God and expect him to see him come through as your exceeding great reward. God don't work like that. You surrender it all to him or not at all. Let's continue. So this is so true for us today. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. Verse 2, but Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, again, this is still going on. It's a vision. It's a cool vision right here. And God says to him, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. Of course he's not able to number them, but what was God doing? Giving him a picture, a visual, saying, yeah, try to count all these stars. You won't be able to. That's how many descendants are going to come from you. He says, and he said to him, so shall your descendants be like those stars. And he believed in the Lord, and he, Abram, accounted it to him for righteousness. If you'll go to, if you'll go to Romans chapter 4, there's a great, so much about Abram and his, of course, his name changes a little bit, but I'll get to that here in a little bit. But so much about Abram's example of faith and how it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Because of his faith. Not because Abram didn't ask for a long list and say, God, show me how you're going to do this. And God, I need to see it in paper right here, right now. Like most of us would, or all of us would love to ask God that and show us. But it has to come in faith, by faith. God's promise continues. Genesis 15, verse 13. Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. Woo, hold up. God, I don't like that part. That don't sound too good. That doesn't sound fun. But yet God is speaking to Abram. And even though God is mentioning some difficult times, let's just listen and see how Abram takes this. Because, it just says that Abram believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. And nowhere in the rest of these verses did Abraham say, whoop, time out, God. You lost me there, and you know what? I'm not taking this. I don't receive this. He didn't say any of that. He kept believing. He kept trusting in what God said. Regardless of a billboard sign, regardless of any mail that came in to tell him that what God said, he believed because God spoke to him and told him. Verse 14, and also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. Oh, I like that, God. Oh, now we're talking great possessions. You're going to bless us. Isn't that what he said? I am your shield. And what else did he say? And your exceeding great reward. Now, I ain't in this for what God gives me here on earth, because whatever I get here on earth, it's just going to go away. I ain't going to take it with me. Like my father-in-law would say that he heard many times, and he said many times, you'll never see a hearse, you know, pulling a U-Haul, because they won't be able to take that with them, not to the other side. But I'm enjoying the great reward when he'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into my rest, where I can be in the presence of God forever and ever and ever. Can I challenge you something with something? I'm going to go back here. During praise and worship, can I encourage you to if you need to write it down, memorize it, tell someone that's next to you to remind you. But during praise and worship, can you keep in your mind, I am joining in with all the angels of heaven. I am joining in with what is happening in heaven. Because you know what happens in heaven? There's a continuous praise and worship and magnifying God, Almighty God. So when we come for praise and worship, look, we're not playing for you. We're playing and singing for the audience of one. We pray that you come in prepared to sing and worship to the audience of one. Not this praise band, but Almighty God. So hopefully your attitude changes. Hopefully you come prepared to worship and say, and have this in your mind, I am joining with all the angels in heaven praising God because he's worthy. All right, so let's go back. Slide 2, Philippians 1:6. I'm so thankful that God, I am sure of this. Are you sure of this? Are you secure in this? Listen, if you don't feel like it, adjust your feelings to what God's word says. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in me will bring it to. Now, I know it says you, but how about you just change it to speak it to yourself? I am secure. I am confident. I am sure of this, that he, not me, God, he who began a good work in me will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I don't know, but if you say that a couple times, it'll encourage you and fire you up. And you won't look at your feelings. You won't look at the circumstances around you. You'll start, why? You'll start learning to be secure in what God says. This brings me to my second point. Be secure in what he's doing. How many of you do not know what God is doing right now? Yeah, you're going through some stuff, some muck, and you're going through some junk, and you're like, God, what are you doing? God, where is the answer? God, why haven't you heard me? God, anybody in the house? Just two hands. I saw three hands, or four hands, six hands. All right, good. There's more of us. It's God who started this journey that you and I are walking in. 1 John 4:9 says that God loves us first. He loved us first. This is how you and I get to know what really love is. I'm not about to sing that song. But see, some of you started laughing. You already know. This is how we know what love is, because God loves us first. Even though he knew you were a sinner, he knew that I would be a wicked sinner, yet he still sent Christ to die for you, to die for me. And Jesus was obedient to the Father all the way to the what? The cross. Because he had you and me on mind. Thank you, Jesus. So if God started the work, and then we need to trust that he's doing something in the work because he has a completion. We ought to trust him to finish it. Any of you ever have your children or have somebody do something and boy, it racks your brain. Hey, look, move. I'll do it. Because they're not doing it like you want to do it or like you do it. They're not doing it up to your par, up to your standards. It might be cooking. It might be cleaning. It might be doing something else, maybe working on a car or something, but it just gets you. Anybody like that? Shannon and I, we used to have difficulties about cooking, and I just would, you know, hey, move, I got it. And so I just not that she can't cook, because she can get down when she cooks, but it's just something, I don't know. The Lord has to help me, so pray for me. As long as we remain humble, as long as we remain repentive, as long as we remain faithful stewards of what God is doing and what God says he's going to do and what God gives us, we shall endure till the end. We will see that day, the day of Jesus Christ, when we stand before him. But we got to remain humble. We got to remain repentant, that when the Holy Spirit puts his finger on a situation, oh, forgive me, Holy Spirit. Oh, God, forgive me. Holy Spirit, help me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for pointing that out. Thank you for pointing out that attitude. Thank you, Holy Spirit, my teacher. And if we do that and be faithful stewards, just think of what God has given you. And I'm talking about materialistic stuff, because that stuff can get stolen, can get broken, can get rusted, or just worn out, and you throw it away. I'm thinking about the things that God gives you with eternal purpose, eternal value. What are you doing with that? Become a faithful steward. And if you do that, you will be able to endure till the end. Next slide. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 and 58. This is one of my great scriptures. But thanks be to God who gives us what? Victory. Oh, that was weak. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Thank you, God. It is you that's doing the work. God, I may not understand and know fully exactly what you're doing right now, but I can trust and be secure. And what you're doing is for your glory, and it is for my good. Know that it's good regardless of the situation, regardless of how dim or difficult. We look at, as I mentioned before, biblical characters. Joseph, Daniel, the disciples, Paul, Silas, etc., etc. What God is doing right now. You don't fully see the end. Know the end that what God says will come to pass. It's for his glory and his good. Let's go back to Genesis. Now we're going to go to Genesis 17. It says in verse 1, when Abram, still his name is Abram, was 99 years old. Everybody say 99. 99. 99. And God starts to move. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. There's no one like him. Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and I and will multiply you exceedingly. Now remember in chapter 15, God already said, hey, look outside. You see all the stars? Try to count them. I know you can't count them, but that's going to be your descendants. And I will be your shield. And I will be your exceeding great. Thank you, Father. It is God who is our great reward. Anything and everything else in his arsenal that he bestows on us, it's not greater than him. Don't fall into that pit or in that hole that you begin to look at what God is doing and glorifying that instead of glorifying him. He's doing the work. He's the one that's created you. He's the one that loved you first. He's the one that is doing something great in you, and you may not see it, but he's doing something good. He always does something good, great, amazing, marvelous. No one is greater than him, for he is Almighty God. Be secure in what he's doing. So we find here that I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I always thought this was so amazing. That every time Abram heard Abraham, because this is now his new name, he was reminded of God's covenant and God's promise. You will be a father of many. You'll be a father of many nations. Every time someone called, hey, good morning, Abraham, it was a reminder, father of many nations. Think about this. What's your name? Now, I know God didn't change my name. My name's still Rick, Ricardo. He hasn't changed it, but I'm a Christian, follower of Jesus, Christ-like. I'm a believer. I'm forgiven. Son of the living God. And being a believer and a follower of Jesus means so much that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if I don't feel like it, it doesn't matter. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I am a new person in Jesus Christ. I can glory in that, not in myself, but in Jesus. Luke 10, 20, even when Jesus sent his disciples and they were all excited when they came back. Oh, man, I was rebuking demons. And Jesus says, no. Hold up, time out. Don't rejoice that the demons listen to you. Listen, I saw Satan fall. But rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life.
So as a believer in Jesus Christ, my name is written down in glory. And my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I'm saved. I'm forgiven. No longer tainted by sin, but justified in Jesus. God continues with his discussion with Abraham now. Genesis 17, verse 6. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger. All the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Again, notice he was 99 years old. Isaac hasn't been born yet. And yet as God is speaking, Abraham is still believing. He's still putting faith in what God is saying. Why? Because it has and it will come to completion because God spoke it. What God is doing or saying to you today, it may seem outrageous. It may seem impossible. It will come to pass if the Spirit of the living God is speaking to you that you can overcome your situation. You can overcome whatever battle, as it was mentioned this morning in Sunday school. You can overcome whatever the enemy or whatever you've allowed in the past, the enemy to come in and lurk in and steal what God has given you. You are able, because God is with you, you are able to get that back. With God, surrendered to him, sacrificing myself for him. He makes it possible by doing the work in me. And again, it is just an amazing thing. I am not perfect. But the times where I have failed, I've turned from God. I said, no, this was more important, or I didn't go to him first. In those moments, yet God is still wanting to do his good work in me. It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling that he hasn't given up on me. But you know what? His love is so great. And his plan for me is so great. He has no intentions on giving up on me. He's not wanting me to give up on him. Anybody ever give up on you? They gave up on you because you didn't meet their expectation. You didn't meet what they were looking for. You didn't scratch their back as many times as they scratched your back. God is not like that. Regardless of where you've come, regardless of what you've done, God has already proclaimed and demonstrated his love to you by sending his son while he already knew the kind of person you were going to be. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that worthy to just say, God, I belong to you. I want to belong to you. I need you. I surrender my all to you. You see, I'm not sure about you, but I can make plenty of mistakes, and yet God still desires to love me. He still desires to work in me. He's still wanting to be faithful and just to forgive me. When I confess my sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Why? My last point, because he is taking us somewhere and I need to be secure in his plan for my future. Are you secure for God's plan for his future? Are you secure in God's plan for the future he has for you? Some of you, you're probably thinking, well, it's just going to be a flip of a coin. No, don't look at it that way. God has a future for you. It's not an if, but it shall come to pass. Why? Because God said, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. You will get into the presence of Almighty God. But if it is not, listen, this morning, if your name is not in that book, don't expect or think that it will happen because of your parents or because of your spouse or because your name on the membership of a church. It's got to be because you've surrendered your life to him and made Jesus the Lord of your life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Anybody ever fell for that? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. See, I ain't coming up with something that Rick is saying. It's all what God's word is saying. Verse 17, and the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. You know what that, I mean, we've been talking about this word abide for months and almost 2 years now. Abides means shall remain, shall stay with God, in God forever. He who does the will of God shall stay forever. With who? With God. Shall remain with who? With God forever. God has ordained his good works for us to walk in, for us to be involved in. Why? Because he wants to take us somewhere. Slide 4. Do you think that God stands there waiting to see you fall? This is a great verse for you to memorize if you ever think about that. If you ever think that the fall or that the trap that you just fell in, maybe today, maybe last week, that it was God that put you there, you need to readjust your thinking, because God does not want us to fall into a trap. God does not orchestrate for us to fall into a trap. If he did, then it was never for our own good. We can get to places on our own, but God never sets a trap like a pitfall, digs a hole, puts a rug over it, and stands behind a tree waiting to see you fall. That's not the Father that we serve. That's not Almighty God, who has an almighty everlasting love for his creation. The Lord will be your confidence. I pray that he will be your confidence. And I pray that you will realize and come to the understanding that he will keep your foot from being caught, from being trapped. Why? Because that's the kind of God, that's the kind of Heavenly Father we serve. We are to learn to be confident in him and in his plan for us. Let's going back to Genesis 21, verses 1 through 5, as I started, verses 1 and 2. Let's continue. Verse 3, it says, "And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him." He's still obeying God. He's still trusting God's word, because he is secure in the God that he is serving. Verse 5, "Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him." Did you catch that? Did you catch that? Verse 2, it says, "At the set time." We read before that he was 99 years old. About a year later, he's holding his son. A year later, he's taking his son to the temple. He's taking his son at eight days old, as God had commanded him to be circumcised. His son Isaac was born to him. God is never late. And if you think he is, you're looking at the wrong clock. He is never late. I close. Go to slide 5. I'm sorry. God's promise to John and his disciples is the same for us today. And this is the promise that he has promised us: eternal life. Do you know who eternal life is? Jesus. He's the gift of eternal life. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." You keep living, working for sin, you will get paid, and it will be death. Or you could receive the gift of God, which is eternal life, his son, Jesus Christ. I close with this verse, Romans chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. It talks about Abraham. So good to find scriptures like this about Abraham in the Old Testament. We can go to the New Testament and be encouraged and look to Abraham as an example for walking in faith, for being secure in God and what God has said. He, Abraham, did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. I pray that you will be strengthened by taking a step of faith and trusting in God, by you taking a step of faith and asking God to fill you with more of his spirit, to fill you with more of his love. Verse 21, "Being fully convinced that what he has promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness." Father, I thank you, God, for your word today. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you have been speaking to us this morning. Father, I pray that we would be secure in you, be secure in your word, be secure in what you're doing, even though we don't understand what is going on. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my family? Why have I not seen my prayers answered yet? But we can be secure in what you're doing, because it is all for your glory and it is for our good. And God, I pray that we would be secure for where you want us to be, for where you want to take us. God, I thank you that where you want to take us is not a dead end road. God, I thank you for where you want to take us, Lord, is not a place of misery, but a place of hope, a place where we can be with you for all of eternity.